So Dr. Verma is a research scientist at with Liberty Mutual Research Institute for Safety, where Helen also works. And his research is focused on investigating the causes and consequences of slip, trips, and falls, and same level falls, as well as return to work outcomes. So, welcome.
Good afternoon, everybody. So today I'm going to talk about how duration of use affects the effectiveness of slip-resistant shoes, and I'm going to present to you the findings from our limited service restaurant study. I would like to acknowledge my co-authors, Jia, Ted, Wen Chang, David Lombardi, Emily Wong, Melanie Brennan, and Melissa Perry. Neither me nor my co-authors have any financial relationships to disclose. So this graph is showing the proportion of occupational injuries from leading causes. And you can see from this red line that this is the proportion of occupational injuries from same level falls. And over the years, the proportion of occupational injuries from same level falls have been increasing. And if the trend holds, and we have good reasons to believe that the trend will hold in future, if it holds, then by 2020, same level falls will be the leading cause of occupational injuries in the US, or they will be at least as big as overexertion. So that's my plug for injuries from same level fall. So overall they are the second leading cause right now of occupational injuries, but among restaurant workers, slip, trips and falls are the leading cause of occupational injuries, because if you are working in a restaurant, you can not only get injured due to impact of a fall, but if you're working in a kitchen area, you're working around some very hot surfaces and hot oil, and if you slip and fall, you can burn one of your limbs. Restaurants also are one of the largest employers in the U.S. They employ more than 10 million workers. They employ a lot of young workers. They employ a lot of minority workers, so it's important to look at injuries among restaurant workers. And if you look at like what causes same-level falls in occupational setting, then the slipping is the leading initiating event that leads to fall in occupational setting. And studies have reported that somewhere 40 to 80% of same level falls in occupational setting are due to slipping. So the question is how we can prevent slipping. So among many interventions that we can do to prevent slipping in different occupations, including restaurants, slip-resistant shoes are one of the interventions, and some studies have shown that they are effective. There was a laboratory study done in UK, and what they found that slip-resistant shoes that are marketed, as slip-resistant shoes, about one-third of them provided good slip resistance, one-third provided moderate, one-third provided poor slip resistance. Of the all shoes that are not marketed as slip resistance, almost all of them provided poor slip resistance. So not all slip-resistant shoes are created equal. Some provide good, some provide poor, but in general, on an average, they provide more slip-resistance than non-slip-resistant shoe. Bell et al. Did a very comprehensive intervention trial to prevent fall injuries among hospital workers, and they reported that their intervention was effective, and slip-resistant shoes were part of that intervention. However, it was a comprehensive intervention with many different arms, and their intervention was not designed to isolate the effect of each arm. So even though slip-resistant shoes were part of the intervention, we don't know how much they contributed to reduction in fall and fall injuries. We actually did a prospective cohort study to look at how effective slip-resistant shoes are, and we found that slip-resistant shoes are highly effective. They reduce the rate of slipping by more than half, and basically, we did a cost-benefit analysis, and we said that if the results hold, if they reduce the rate of slipping by more than half, then for each dollar you invest in slip-resistant shoes, you will get $2 back. We also found that slip-resistant shoes reduce the effect of rushing, distraction, walking on contaminated floor, and the risk of slipping. So in this study, we wanted to see like how the duration of use affects the effectiveness of slip-resistant shoes, because as your shoes get older, they might lose their slip-resistance property. So in this study, we wanted to see whether slip-resistant shoes that are less than 6 months old are more effective than slip-resistant shoes that are over 6 months old. And this criteria for 6 months comes because there are many slip-resistant shoe companies that advise you, they basically recommend changing your shoes every 6 months. We also wanted to see whether when the employees change their shoe from old shoe to new shoe, does that decrease their rate of slipping. So we did a prospective cohort study. At the baseline, we asked participants to take off their right shoe. If their shoe was basically labeled slip-resistant, we classified them as wearing slip-resistant shoe. We also asked them about the duration of use in months, so how long they have been wearing their shoe. And we divided them into basically using their shoe for less than 6 months or over 6 months. Then we asked them to report their slipping experience every week for the next 12 weeks. So every week they reported to us whether they slipped or not, if they slipped, how many times they slipped, how many hours they worked in the previous week. And then we added all the slip for full duration and all the hours and calculated rate of slipping for each individual. So that's our main outcome of interest, rate of slipping for each person. Every fourth week we also asked them, did they change their shoe to a new shoe? And basically if they said yes, they have changed to a new pair, then we asked them about the date when they changed their old shoes to a new pair. We recruited 36 restaurants from 6 states. These are like fast food restaurants with burgers and fries as their main menu. We recruited them from all the major chains. We recruited 475 participants from these 36 restaurants. So on an average, about 13 participants from each restaurant. And for the analysis, what we did was we compared the rate of slipping among those, among people who are wearing slip-resistant shoes to people who are not wearing slip-resistant shoes, and we stratified this analysis by duration of use, so less than 6 months, more than 6 months. And we also compared the rate of slipping before and after the change of shoe among people who changed their shoe during the follow-up. So if somebody changed their shoe from old to new, we looked at their rate of slipping before they changed it, they looked at the rate of slipping after, and then we compared for each individual. So here are the results. Out of 475, 462 gave us a duration of use, and out of 462 participants, 279 participants were wearing shoe for less than 6 months, and 183 participants were wearing shoe for more than 6 months. So about 60% were wearing their shoe for less than 6 months, and 40% more than 6 months. So a significant proportion of participants were wearing shoe that was older than 6 months. And again, the prevalence of slip-resistant shoe in this population was 21%, and people were wearing the shoe for more than 6 months, it was about 62%. So here are the results from our analysis. So among those who were wearing their shoe for less than 6 months, slip-resistant shoes were very effective. They reduced their rate of slipping by 58%, and this association was statistically significant. Among participants who were wearing their shoe for more than 6 months, they were still effective. They reduced the rate by 45%. However, this association was not statistically significant. When we looked at our crossover analysis, like before and after, 79 participants changed their shoe during the follow-up period, and 44 of them were wearing slip-resistant shoe. So when they changed from old shoe to new shoe, their rate of slipping decreased quite a bit by 56%. And again, this was statistically significant. And on an average, people change their shoe. Among those who are wearing slip-resistant shoe, they change their shoe when their shoe was 9-10 months old. For non-slip-resistant shoe user, they get some benefit, but it was not statistically significant. And these people change their shoe much later. So non-slip-resistant shoe user changed their shoe on an average like 15 months when their shoe was 15 months old. So this study provides first scientific evidence that maybe the guidance that slip-resistant shoe companies are providing to employees and other employers that you should change your shoe every 6 months is a reasonable advice. And there are many reasons why slip-resistant shoes will lose their effectiveness, because as the tread depth decreases, studies have shown that the slip-resistant property of slip-resistant shoe will decrease. As you are wearing your shoe for a long time, the sole might get harder. And harder soles are less slip-resistant. You may also change the roughness. One study suggested that if you are wearing your sole out asymmetrically, then it may change the gait and may lead to basically lower limb fatigue and may increase your risk of slipping. So in the previous study, what we have done is once we found that the slip resistant shoes were very effective, we suggested that employers should provide their employees slip resistant shoes, particularly in the restaurant environment where we did the study. But I guess it's not enough just to provide shoes. I think if you provide shoes, then you should also think about replacing the shoes on a regular interval. The other thing is that when we did our cost-benefit analysis, when I said that you get $2 back for each dollar you invest, we assumed that you will replace shoe every year. So now we're suggesting that you replace shoe every 6 months. So you get like $1 back, so it's cost neutral. So limitations, we use the duration of use as proxy for sole wear, and we know there are many other things that can affect the sole wear. It's like not like how long you have been using it, but how much you use it. Do you only wear it at work, or do you also wear it at home? The weight of a person, the sole material, way you walk. So that's a limitation of the study. The other limitation that's big is that we classified shoes as slip resistant based on the manufacturer's criteria. As I said, not all slip resistant shoes are created equal. But in the U.S., there is no universal test. So every shoe is like company makes their own. They have their own test, and based on their own test, their shoes are the best. So that's the best we could do. Thank you very much for your attention. Any questions? Yes, and actually in the previous study when we were looking at, when I gave you the effect estimate for slip resistant shoe, we also looked at the effect of coefficient of friction. So we measured the slip resistant property of the floor, and we found that the actually slip resistance of the floor matters quite a bit. So for each 0.1 increase in coefficient of friction, rate of slipping decreased by 21%. And actually, OSHA has a non-mandatory guideline that your average coefficient of friction should be 0.5. And we found that in our study, almost all of the restaurants had the coefficient of friction above 0.5. And even then, at that coefficient of friction, a lot of slipping is happening. And not only that, but if you go from 0.5 to 0.6, you see a decrease, and you go from 0.6 to 0.7, go from 0.7 to 0.8, and there were restaurants that had the coefficient of friction of 0.8. So yes, so you need to do... if you can do the floors, that's really great, but I think you need to do kind of everything. So you have the good floors, but also provide your employee with slip resistant shoe. Thank you. Very good question. So these shoes are, so the manufacturer, they write on it. So if you go and look at slip resistant shoe, you will see a marking in there that says slip resistant. And
so you actually go to check the shoes worn by the employees?
Yeah. So we asked each participant to take off their right shoe. We look at their shoe. We took a picture of their shoe. And very good smelling shoe. I had one more question. Do you have time?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you just alluded to having taken pictures of the shoes. Is there any opportunity in the prospective nature of it to look at wearing patterns of the shoes that were above or below 6 months?
We haven't. So it's a two-dimensional picture. So we haven't explored looking at our picture and seeing like how well that correlates. But I'm just thinking aloud is that one thing that I said that if you're wearing your sole asymmetrically, and that we can definitely see from the pictures, and that's another thing that we can explore in our data and see how that affects the risk of slipping. Thank you. Thank you very much.